house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done?" says the Lord. "Just like the clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Holy wisdom, holy word. The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus, speaking to the crowd and the Pharisees, said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated.
We're doing something a little different this morning for this time for a sermon, something that we couldn't do as easily during COVID, so I've been looking forward to this. We have a little conversation. Don't worry, I told Deb about this in advance. I was going to sit there, but it's fine. Oh. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. This is such a familiar metaphor in Jeremiah's book, and I just wanted to put some skin on it and think about it in terms of a real-life member of this community and real bodies. And so Deb and I met to talk about this text earlier this week, and we thought we could do some storytelling. And that's what God is up to with Jeremiah in this story too, saying, "I want you to go to the potter's shed, go on a field trip, and just learn, just watch and observe what's happening with the potter and the clay. This is what I want you to notice about the care and the creative attention and the guiding hands. And then I want you to think about my love for you." And I appreciate how often God gives Jeremiah an image or an object lesson and reminds Jeremiah that he's not the boss and he doesn't know everything and he has not arrived at like master status prophet. There's all of these learning opportunities along the way that help him tell the story and say something hard and true to the people. So there's something about the image of the potter and the clay that reminds me not only of God's love for humanity, but also a parent's love for a child. And I know that no matter how old your kids get, you're still a parent. And you have a child who's about my age, and you are still very much a parent, yep. Right? I thought I just had 10 more years to go, but I guess this is a forever thing. And how parenting kind of knocks you off your center. If you had your ducks in a row, it's all of these new dynamics and a vulnerability that comes with being in a relationship with another living thing. And I was laughing with you this week because I don't know if people still do this, but I was expecting my first child around the time where everybody was typing up their birth plan, like their plan for how that was going to go. And you handed it to the nurse with such authority, like, "This is what we're going to do. It's in 12-point font. I've highlighted some key themes," right? And then you never see that piece of paper again because none of it happened. So I was wondering if you could share a little bit about how parenting surprised you and knocked you off your center or gave you a different center.
Okay. I was married very young at 18 and moved to Tucson, Arizona for 6 years. And after that 6 years, my husband and I decided it was time to think about having a child. And in our move between Tucson, Arizona, and here, surprise, no medical insurance, no jobs, no place to live. But just a little bump in the road, a little wobble on the wheel, and we were thrilled to have our first baby girl, and then 3.5 years later, our baby boy. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, because of being married so young, my husband and I grew apart. Mm-hmm. And when Trevor was 6 years old, he was diagnosed with diabetes. Mm-hmm. And we dealt with that for a short time together, but most of the time we dealt with it apart.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot for a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
You found out he had type 1 diabetes the day before Halloween. Close call.
It was a close call.
Yeah.
But he turned his candy in for a nickel apiece and he got a toy.
Silver lining. Yeah, did you, when we talked this week, you talked a little bit about all of the moments of tension mm-hmm. that might cause a wobble. Mm-hmm. And that tension in and of itself isn't bad, although sometimes we treat it like that, right? When things get a little bit uncomfortable, we're looking for the nearest exit sign,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But the tension, whether it's in a marriage or in a diagnosis or in a circumstance, isn't necessarily good or bad. It's potential.
Totally.
And sometimes that potential leads to a crumbling and a peeling apart. And sometimes it leads to more self-awareness and knowledge and transformation.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. I think that the world is having trouble with tension right now. And as communities and neighborhoods and congregations and nations, we are a little bit out of practice at being in tension with one another and not needing to fix it and not needing to be right and not needing to be righteous and not just running out the back door and finding an echo chamber where it's a little bit more comfortable, right? And so I love this image today for how often we get a little wobbly and a little bit off center, and it's an opportunity to be held, to be in conversation, to be dancing with these hands that will help us find the center when we can't find it all by ourselves.
Definitely. And I know during the tumultuous times of my early marriage, I wasn't very active with church. Mm-hmm. And mysterious ways, I ended up going to a Bible study fellowship at Wayzata Community Church, which was open to moms, and they offered free daycare. And that's why I went.
That's a win.
So we're led in different ways because it was a spiritual group of wonderful women who I needed at that time in my life and helped me back on the road of my spiritual journey.
Can you talk a little bit about Trevor? He's not 6 anymore.
No, he's going to be 42 this week.
Yeah. And your parenting is still a hands-on parenting because he's going through an unprecedented diagnosis and moment in his own life.
Mm-hmm. He didn't take care of himself as much as he could have. And as a result, he is experiencing a lot of different organ issues. First was his eyes. And he's luckily had surgeries for those, but the most latest was kidney failure. Mm-hmm. And the University of Minnesota has a transplant program, but you have to be on the waiting list to get on the list for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So he was on the waiting list, and during that time, his kidneys failed. Mm-hmm. And he ended up being put on dialysis. So there was that, getting him stabilized on that, and then part of the testing program to be a recipient of an organ is myriad of tests, but his last one was an angiogram. Mm-hmm. And they ended up placing 3 stents, while they were doing the angiogram into his heart. Not the leads going into his heart. So there's been a lot of issues. Right now he's on dialysis 3 days a week for 4 hours each time. But he will soon be starting dialysis at home so that he can do it in his own time for more days but less frequent. Mm-hmm. But we are in search of a kidney donor. Mm-hmm. We have searched within the family and we don't have any eligibility there. And what's really, really nice about the kidney registry is you don't need to match the person you're donating for. Your kidney goes into the bank and my son gets a kidney. Mm-hmm. So that's what we hope and pray for.
Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty countercultural right now when somebody else's body is hurting, and your son's body is hurting. I think it's pretty countercultural to stay in your own body while you're watching that and loving them. It feels braver than ever to stay in your own body right now. There are a lot of things about being human that we would like to escape or deny. Yep. Or numb. And the way that you parent your adult child and practice your faith and lament and hope for his future is very embodied. It is incarnate. And I watch the way that you show up centered and wobbly as your full self, recognizing...
I'm good at being wobbly.
Yeah. The people in the church we could be working on that, right?
Right.
We could be working on letting down our guard a little bit about how we're doing, how we want to be perceived, what the purpose of Sunday morning is, and acknowledge how often we feel off-center and our inmost calm feels shaken.
Well, and especially when you're feeling out of control, mm-hmm. where there's nothing I can do as a mom to mm-hmm. fix this.
Yeah.
But it's my faith, and that's what led me here. That's what led me to the choir. That's what led me to you. Mm-hmm. That's what led me to all the people that have embraced me, mm-hmm. joining during COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The world wants us to be on this really linear track towards success. And when we had our two-minute conversation at the beginning, I heard joy in your voices talking about something that didn't have to be about that. That didn't have to be plotted on a chronology toward mastery. And real life is a little bit more cyclical, mm-hmm. and wobbly and embodied differently. And this is an opportunity and a place to practice that, to trust that our faith isn't supposed to grow on a two-dimensional line graph in a certain way until our funeral. But it is full of fits and starts and wobbles and recenters. And these object lessons where God invites us back again to take a look, notice this, feel my presence, trust that I am also here and I care so deeply. I did not go about this creation and then say, looks good, I'm out of here. I'm sticking around. And there is hope for these vessels because anybody who has practiced pottery before knows it's not over until it goes in the kiln. You can always mash it up. You can always add more water. You can always
recenter
it and keep your hands moving and the wheel moving so that it is never finished while there's still a conversation happening between potter and clay. You could stick it on a shelf next to the kiln for years, and it's still not done yet. Mm-hmm. And so I think of Harriet this morning and how we added water to her life, and we prayed that prayer about all of the ways we hear in Scripture that water saves and sets us free, and God desires love and liberation for our lives. And it we believe in a never-say-never God.
Yeah.
And so my prayer for you and Trevor is that you're able to stay in your bodies and feel the guidance and love of a God who says never say never. There is always hope enfleshed because Jesus has been in a body like ours and cares so fiercely for all of the ways that we are mortal and breaking and mending and wobbling and recentering, right? Well, thank you for sharing with us a little bit today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And if any of you have questions about the kidney transplant program, you can talk to Deb about it. She is such a wonderful advocate for this program and for her son. And the way she talks about it, it's clear she's done a lot of spiritual discernment about what is mine to carry and what can I control and what do I have to let go of. And I just can't, I don't know if I'll ever hear this story from Scripture again without thinking of you and that dance between guidance and letting go.
Right.
And control and conversation, and the fact that some of the most beautiful gifts we have in this life are not linear, are not chronological, but filled with deep and sacred time, like your relationship with Trevor.
Right.
So peace be with you. Thanks
and
for sharing.
Also with you. Thank you.
All right. We're going to sing.